Hallelujah. He has a testimony for the last 6 years. What he came out of, what he's came into, and what God's done to get his word into just imaginable places now. And Jason's going to give a bit of his testimony. And I think before this is over, Red will give a bit of his. But you don't want to talk to either one of them about not praying in tongues. When you discover that the mysteries that you're praying is the very mysteries that's been hidden God since the foundations of the world. The mystery of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. The hope of glory. And what makes you think that he's praying those mysteries? You think that there's something you're going to sneak up on God with that he don't know yet? These mysteries are not for his benefit. Come on. They're for yours. It's like any other kind of prayer. It's designed to be answered. Only just a stroke of genius, he took the body of the prayer, the understanding out of it for you, so you don't know what you're praying when you're praying it. He only takes one thing from you anyway, it's the authority. That's why Paul said, if I, Paul, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That's his human. So the language had to be created within that one. He's the one that had the authority, he was doing the praying. Well, it gets interesting. So he borrows his authority to pray with and takes the understanding away from him. What a stroke of genius. So you pray yourself way, way out there past the problem before you know you did it. Then he comes back and lets you see the problem. Only this time you see it through his eyes and you think, that's an ugly thing. He says, that's right. That's right, it's an ugly thing. Where do you think you get the faith to move it on? You know, we've said this many times in these conferences, but it never seems to quit going over. That the angels have a portal that they call the TV room. They watch you. Hey, Gabriel, you're going to watch the 6 o'clock events? So if when one angel discovers somebody what they're praying, he calls the other ones. Hey, there's another one down here. He claimed a brand new Mercedes and is praying in tongues about it. He keeps praying in tongues for the Mercedes. Look at this. He thinks I'm going to give him a Mercedes. He don't know what he's praying, does he? He wants God to give him a new Mercedes, and God thinks he should quit yelling at his wife. Well, you know who else has got the power to destroy the strongholds of the past? Do miracles in the presence that excels you into the future. So wouldn't you say if I really worked your future out, I'd power to pull you into it? You pray there. You pray up ahead. And don't think for a minute that you established the path there. They won't do miracles in the presence that destroys the past to pull you in. See, your problem is you can only stay the same if you quit praying. If you want to stay the same, just stop. That Paul made mention, you know, in graduating there to 13th chapter. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not, L-U-V-E, love. I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And that's correct. You can speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love. He came to help you with the problem. Just what part did he come in? Anybody know preachers that are mean and speak with tongues? I mean, not me. I know some. Well, what did it mean then? Well, you little voice of unbelief, I'll tell you. Of course you can have baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues and be mean. But you know what you can't do? You can't establish a habitual prayer life and stay mean. He didn't come because you were perfect. He came for the opposite reason. You wasn't. You wasn't. So think about it. If he didn't answer your prayer in an imperfect state, you wouldn't have any answer. Well, I'm righteous. Yeah, you are. Your spirit, you're righteous, okay. Yes, you are. That's your standing. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You have his standing.
Yes, that's right.
It would be nice if some of it worked its way to the surface. So you... If you don't stop, you're not going to stay the same. You're not going to. We have lots of history now, testimonies of people, lots and lots. So, but I think the greatest role that he plays is as teacher. This is the incredible part. How many preachers do you know that, as we face it as Pentecostals, are full of the Holy Spirit? We say, they're full of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm concerned they got a little, maybe. Anyway. Now, how many charismatic preachers do we know that share the knowledge and experience of speaking with tongues that all agree with each other limb for limb on doctrine? Are you thinking? Think. How about assemblies and Church of God? Holiness problem. Faith people in assembly. Faith problem. So how many of us? I mean, how come we got so many? How many of us have we had that teacher that he's come to guide us into all truth, and thy word is truth? So if we've got one teacher teaching the same word, then how come we can't hardly agree past the roots?
Well, we had the same roots.
Yes, no limbs, no leaves. Yet there must be something that we can do. There must be something we can do to activate the teacher in us as much as we want, often, and as long as we want. And the answer is that there is. Now, when I first started praying in tongues, I didn't know where the revelation was beginning to come from. I honestly thought that he was starting to let me know what verses meant because I went full time. I didn't have anywhere to preach, but I went full time. So I thought, good land, if now that I went full time, what would I preach if he didn't give me something? And I thought that was why he was giving me revelation knowledge. And when I'd ride with Earl, you know, He started to drive me to some of my first meetings. You should have seen him. Oh, gosh. I rented the Woodworkers Hall in Florence, Oregon. It was down near a riverbed, little bitty hall, $5 a night. About broke me. The paper ad was $12. I bet couldn't come up with that hardly. No. And I ran a little ad in the paper, planned to attend a miracle service. I copied it from somebody else. I sure was hoping he'd show up. A little kid was traveling with me doing the guitar named Barry LeDuc. And I was supposed to come out and preach, but I was hiding in the kitchen. So he sang every song he knew, and he kept looking at the kitchen. I still wouldn't come out. I was scared. I got D's in English because I wouldn't give the oral reports. And I know some of you think I got overhealed. Just a little history. I finally came out. Just, I remember I studied a Hagin message all the way down there. Little plastic mic hooked into a recording machine hooked onto a little speaker. Baptist boy, young in affliction, bed, young. And was called it when it not, wasn't it? It was. It was. Finally, in prayer, anybody? Prayer. To a three of the six or seven came up. Ma'am, what's wrong?
I have a deaf ear.
Shh. I got you. I said, you got what? I got a deaf ear.
Would you pray for me?
Yes, okay. God, I prayed hard. Close my. In the name of God. Open. Open. So in. Can you hear me? She goes. I can hear you. I said, what? I can hear you. That woman had a deaf ear. I prayed for her. Me. Earl Hitson would drive me to a meeting after that. He'd be driving along. He says, Davy? I said, yeah. Yeah. He says, I ever tell you about the time I got in a fight in a bar and kicked some guys into a sewer? I'm sitting over there trying to meditate and I'm thinking, no, but you're about to, aren't you? So he'd start. And we walked outside, and I walked out in front of them. There were three of them, and I caught a flash in the corner of my eye. It was a 90 Georgia butt, and I turned, and he cut my stomach a little bit, and he says, and I knocked him out, because I was going to come after him later. Yeah, I didn't say, Earl's a big old logger. Suspenders, dungaree pants, chest, like, he had a big, big ox tied out back, as big as a, had a big chainsaw in his pocket. If he wasn't watching, he'd comb his hair with it. God, tough. He says, I kicked them in the sewer. It was cold in Oregon. They all got sick. And then one day I was teaching the prayer meeting. They say, do you remember us? They said, who are you? And he said, we're the guys you kicked in the sewer. And he says, oh, he had got saved and was teaching. See? And I'm sitting over there, you know, just clenching onto the seat, thinking, and I kicked him and kicked him towards the sewer. And then he'd pause. And I'd go, get on with it, Earl. I was all excited, you know. But when we'd get him up to teach, and this has taught me one of the first lesson in meditation, see. He'd get up, I'd say, okay, Earl, you want to teach some? He'd get up, he'd go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's a, watch his car go by, and it's a, it's a, examines content, but it's a, and it's a, I'm thinking, Earl, why don't you teach like you do in the car? Well, I got my answer. See, what happened in the car happened to him, so he was able to pull it up and tell it blow for blow. But the word that he was getting into, he just read it and retained it in his knowledge a little bit. See, so if my word abides in you, comes alive in you, and you come alive in me. There is a way I can do that, isn't there? Oh, yes. You heard Gary, you know, as he masterfully broke that chapter down that God gave us. And broke it right on down to Luke 6:38. And you're thinking verse for verse, and you're thinking, oh, good Lord. When those guys are doing me in, that's the blessing everybody's looking for. He down pressing together, shaking together, and running over. He causes men to give unto your bosom. But without the teacher, without assimilation, meditation, how are we really ever going to lift what's really on those pages out? When he first started lifting those things out for me, I don't think the shepherd who made the first footprint on the moon, I don't think he was more excited than I was. You know, you put your foot where nobody's walked for a long, long time. We don't even know how long. See? And to have an opportunity with no restrictions, a sovereign path that's just as finished and final as the work it leads you to, that we all can have as much as we want. Don't get lost in religion. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, meaning faith comes by hearing and understanding what the word of God says. Again, not your preconceived ideas, not what you think, not your successes, not your failures. Faith only comes because you heard what he said about it. Well, look at Psalms 1:1 briefly with me. I'm so glad I'm getting to do this. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And tell me, you know, that's enough right there. If there's anything you want to be, is what? Blessed man and woman of God. Blessed is the man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it, in his law, does he meditate day and night, day and night, day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Boy, do you like this part? Whatsoever he doeth will prosper. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight's in the word of God, and in it does he meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. We can clarify meditation sometimes by telling you what it isn't. It's not just study, not just memorization, but it is that unique ability of the Holy Spirit to take the counsel that left the heart of God and reconstruct it in your heart in such a way that it becomes the wisdom, the counsel that we so desperately need. Amen. To walk by, especially in these days. You hear me? These days. Well, the more I gave myself over to the Word, the more I learned about myself, about my soul, how it operated. For instance, how come you can read a paragraph one time and can't quote it back to me unless you got a rare gift, photographic memory? How come we can't do that? But you read it. Maybe 30 times. Then you can quote it back. Why? If you had the capacity to do it after 30 times, why couldn't you do it after one? What happened? What happened when you read it over and over? Is that some kind of strength or power in you? How could you harness that? Same thing happens. And my advice would be start with the smaller books till you learn how to separate from one begins and the other stops. But the small books, they're pretty much all one subject all the way through. Now tell me, what'd be the difference of reading it one time? Are you continually reading it, say, 30 times? What would be the difference? You come across a word, you don't know what it means, go ahead and look it up. But don't go cross-examining it through the entire Word of God because you don't know what context it's in yet.
Well, we know all things work together for the good of them who love God and called according to His purpose.
Yeah, that's the guy that's praying in the Holy Ghost and turning it to the good.
Well, I got in a car wreck and God knows that's working together for the good of them who love God called according to His purpose.
Oh, shut up. Well, what happens? The same thing. Only he'll begin to lift entire thoughts. And pretty soon, he'll lift a thought up just like he does when memorization starts taking place. And then he'll lift this other thought up here and one over here. And pretty soon, this one gives meaning to the next. And all of a sudden, the whole mind will come together just because you chose to learn how to assimilate it. You put something to work in you that we usually let go. Now again, a child doesn't stand on airplane wing and say, I will learn the language of this company. Why? Because his mind, his will, his intellect, his emotion all reaches out and assimilates it or pulls it in. Well, you can't give yourself to this word and have meanings rise and give meanings to other parts of it and then other parts and then have the whole teaching begin to come together. You want to talk about getting excited? I get excited. Let's talk about that power a little. Isn't it something that I like to use the Oklahoma oil magnate? I own 72 oil wells, and I'm richer than God. But I think I'll go over to Great Britain and see my holdings there. It'll be a few years, so Scotty, you man the boat when I'm gone. Or ship or something. Anyway. So he's over there a little longer than he thinks, about 10 years. And he comes down and meets with his holders and his managers. And they're all looking at each other, only there's something different about him. He's got a little teacup in front of him, his little pinky hangs out like this. They're all looking at each other. Nobody said nothing. Well, Sam, how'd your holdings go, old partner, over? Big old mug of black coffee to straighten your hair up. And he's over here with this little, picks it up. I say there, old chap, Tally, hold the fox and all that sort of rot. You said you was never going to talk that way. I am not. Yes, you are. How does that have the power linguistically even to change your accent because you gave yourself to it over an extended period of time? What is going to happen to you when you take a book like the book of John? He was at the Isle of Patmos when he was over 100 years old, banished by the Emperor Domitian. And what did he do? In a manner of speaking, he puts 100 years of wisdom in a little old book called John. And it's worthy of a whole lot more than your scamming and lifting a verse out of context to prove some point.
Amen. Amen.
One guy says, I want to start a business. What do I need to do? I say, I'll read Proverbs about 50 times a day. One guy said, you need to read 1 John about 30, 40 times. He's about 20 times through, and he says, if I read this one more time, I'm going to beat somebody up. Listen to me. Have you ever went to bed with a problem? And no, not what you're thinking. She said, your husband, your wife, or your, just generally speaking, thank you. You go to bed, some problem you're worrying about, you keep coming to the same stupid dead end all the time, can't get past it. So you go to bed that night, you know. Just I sleep within earshot of a bulldog. You don't know what snoring is.
Oh, come on. Gosh.
You know, then the moment you open your eyes, you go, I know what I'll do. What happened? Can you harness that too? What happened? See, one reason for sleep? Let me invent a word. Sleep gets you goo. No. See, when you go to sleep, your spirit, it prioritizes. That's the new word. Prioritizes. In other words, it aligns things up in accordance with their importance and priority. Tell me, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Most of you can tell me.
Where were you? I was in Japan.
Okay. Where were you 2 weeks ago at this hour? Well, if you can remember when Kennedy was shot, what's your problem? Something organized it and let loose. But you're not going to use, but held on to something that seemed to be very important to you. What do you think will happen when you read the book of John about 100 times? All of a sudden, something about you is saying that this has priority. You know what it'll begin to do? It'll start going to work, even while you're sleeping, against those things that are in opposition to it. So one of the most valuable times to learn to pray in the Holy Spirit is when you're assimilating. After a while, it gets so automatic. You pick your Bible up, your lips take off. I don't mean time off. Your lips take off. You pick the Bible up, and they start going. Anyway, it took the understanding away anyway. So go ahead and pray it out, and then assimilate the word. See, so when you sleep, he prioritizes. And whatever really seems to be important to you is what he hangs on to. I should say the system. He'll hang on to it. You remember it 100 years later. The volumes of things, though, that were turned loose. But now, you've been giving yourself to this all the time. What's important about it now? What's so important about it? Hey, now tell me, what about confession? Come on. So that I could save the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. Oops, threw a clause in. If I doubt not in my heart, oh man, I'll have what I say. Man, if I don't doubt with what? So the switch that turns faith on isn't here. It just knows it should be turned on. The switch here is what turns it on. Have you noticed that you don't exactly have control over your heart? Don't marry him, daughter. I've seen his kind before.
My mama, I love him.
3 years later,
can I borrow $3,000?
He said, and doubt not in your heart. See, if I could just reach in just to say, oh, I don't believe it now, but wait a minute, and I will. It doesn't work exactly that way. But let me tell you once again, what you give yourself to, and if you start speaking the truth, in particular out loud, say, well, why should I confess it 100 times? I can tell you why. Because eventually, you're going to believe it. When you cross the line, now faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. It's all the evidence that I need of the thing that I cannot see. Now, if what I'm hoping for has to have the substance from the word, and then the description of what I'm believing for must have a description in the word that I can have it. You're not going to say it and confess it and worship God because of it without eventually ending up believing it. And the moment that substance flows into that evidence, you've got it. You have it. Of course, I can tell you stories. I've told them here. When I first got to Brazil, I just loved that baby who was born with the feet on backwards. I was really hot on this message at that time before I met Anna Maria, I think. Anyway, they come and brought the baby. The doctor's going to have to break him and turn him around. Prayed for him, but nothing happened then. Seen one happen later, but not then. So we came back a year later, which we did. And he come, he was so excited. He says, but I'm a little bit embarrassed. He said, it took me a year to talk them things back around front. I go, oh, I'm thinking. He confessed it a year and they turned. He said, it took me a year, and he thought that was bad. I said, look, most people don't even know that. Come on, what is it in you that goes from not believing it to believing? Is that something to do with your heart? Your heart can definitely go with something wrong. You've had that happen in your past. Loved the wrong person, you'd say. Did the wrong thing, took the wrong job. Was thoroughly convinced in something that wasn't right. He don't have truth. He is. See, Jesus is truth. For him and by him all things consist. Everything's come from him. Can you find any more truth than that? He is truth. And he give you the rights to take his truth and change things that are not right. So come on. You have a capacity. Find it. This week, I thought it would be good for you to refresh yourself in these things as you go away with the level of the word you didn't come with. Hang on. I don't think you're ever going to see us the same again. Oh, why don't you go to Mark? This is real original, Mark 4. We'll just skip all of it and go to the good ground. Okay, and just along the way, I'll just tell you what the verses mean. And you'll know how I got there. Around the 20th verse. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither anything kept secret that it should not come abroad. Isn't that good? Though Jesus was doing real good, and all of a sudden he starts talking about a candle. Well, little hint of what that candle was is in the next verse. There's nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, anything kept secret that it should not come abroad. In other words, this candle he was talking about was... It's talking about what happens to your spirit when you get born again. That candle was to that dark room what your new nature is. To your spirit. And from that, you can take the next part. There's nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. Anything kept secret that it shall not come abroad. In other words, they couldn't understand now. But when their candle was lit, they would be nothing that he ever taught them. Nothing in the word. And nothing that would be impossible for them to understand. But see, he goes on to say this then. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto him, but listen, take heed what you hear. With what measure you met, it'll be measured to you again, and to he that hears shall more be given. Then all of a sudden in 25 he says, for he that hath to him shall be given, but he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he had. So this is what he was talking about, because he told him the parable of the sower. He says, look, is a candle lit? And I think they're just looking at him going, to hit under a bushel, or so that you can see what's in the room when you walk through. And a candle is to that dark room what it, your new nature is to your spirit. You can walk by it. There's nothing and it won't be hid from you. Won't be nothing kept secret that'll not be brought forward to your understanding. That's his promise. But he gave him a little warning. He says, look, take heed how you hear, though. Because that you that have this current form of salvation, which was Jewish, they had their covenant, shall more be given. But he that hath not, that form of salvation he trusted in will be taken away from him. So when Jesus says, now when I come and die for you, this is what he was saying. Then you had salvation up to this point. That he that has shall more be given. But he that has not, then, if you refuse to be born again, the Lord Jesus Christ, then the form of salvation you had shall be taken away from you. Oh, he don't end there. You know. Nevertheless, that's part of a greater teaching. Just wanted to illustrate a point. Tell me, isn't it amazing how a word came from the Lord saying that he was going to heal a lot of people, and especially wounds and needs and all kinds of things like he's been doing. So let me check this out just a little. If you've been healed of anything physically since these meetings, some kind of pain, something left like that, stand up where you're at. Stay standing. Changing her. Now, if that other wave of glory came through, and you've had a couple of days now, and you've noticed, and even if I can't quite put my finger on it, something has lightened up, something's different, something's happened. You stand up. See. This is what we're talking about. See, he came and did this Sunday and Monday. He wanted to talk about assimilation and what in the world you have that you can harness. And the whole reason for all of this is for what you're going to be fed for the duration of these meetings. We are going to give some. Really, I mean, these truths that you're going to hear is so going to identify you with the life that's in Christ, you'll wonder why you ever had any doubt. So would you lift your hands and thank him for that great person, the person of the Holy Spirit that's coming. Even when we didn't know what to pray, He stepped in for us. Come on. No stopping point. He searched our heart, knowing what the mind of the Spirit was. That is God's mind for us in this generation. And made intercession for us in according to the will of God, knowing now all things will work together for the good of them are called according now His purpose. Boy, did He come to help you along the way or what? Didn't know how to pray. He said, okay, step aside. I'll do it for you right now. Well, I'm trying to believe this word. She says, let me teach you. Let me teach you how an imparture can come. And you'll get it. Come on, He even teaches you how to teach, how to get it from the Word even. There's nothing He'll leave out in your equipping. Who equips you anyway for your call? Come on. So lift those hands up. Just worship Him a little bit. And rest, you can join Him if you want, or sit back down. Doesn't make any difference to me. These men, those apostles, they gave their whole lives and they left us a legacy. His word. Come on. What's in there is His life for you. When you're praying in tongues and you find out, oh boy, your eyes just boldly go. Sometimes if you start daydreaming on top of praying in tongues and reading at the same time, just stop. Go back to the last verse you remember reading deliberately. Keep going. Find out what that'll do to you. You got one whale of a teacher. Well, maybe. Not a whale. Compassion of God seems to be endless. I've been through most of the traps. You can be seated again. Angels sang to me for 2 years. They did it for about 2 months at a time each season. I remember they started it in the house. I was fasting, praying. They started singing. They sang good. Even if they weren't the right angels. Well, they had a good bass. Oh, He's good. Remember they were singing the song about the rapture? Anyway, my wife was on the computer in the computer room before they got small enough to make it into your other rooms. She was in there on the computer. I come and sit on the bed sheepishly. I said, can you hear that music and sing it? She said, what music and singing? Well, listen. She said, can you hear them now? And I said, yes. What are they singing? And I stopped and I said, can't you hear the thunder rolling? Can't you hear the trumpets blow? And I started telling her what they were saying, and she goes, okay, okay. Don't tell anybody. The first year they got by with it, they just kind of lightly began to the gold dusting, different things was lightly beginning to start. The next year, about the third or fourth day of the fast, they started in violently again. This time they were vicious. They got louder and louder. I couldn't even read my own thoughts hardly. They were pushing them out. They went on and on, hour after hour. So I was thinking, when does a guy get any quietness around here? Locked up to fast and pray. Anyway, I heard him say, "You got a right to try the spirits." I did. Right. I was real ornery about it. First, I requested him to sing, you know, a song. I said, "Okay, would you sing?" I think the oldest song I know. Let's all gather at the river, sing it. You know, they went just a second later. Let's all gather at the river, and Hyde come in. The river. So I don't know what to do then. I'm thinking, okay, I know. I'll request another song. I want Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. Got real quiet for a long time. I think they had to go find some fallen angel that knew it, you know. It was 10 minutes later, it seemed like. I don't really know. But all of a sudden, the old bass guy starts in it. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 and the flames burned higher. And it burned, burned, burned. I was tempted to listen to it. I said, okay, that's it. Get out. They did. So he's tried about everything he can. It's just not working, because I found out how to establish myself with the teacher. Teacher. He's so full of compassion. Let's go through our great heavenly board meeting in the eternities of times past. We just want to finish making our point. The Godhead gathered together, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. They were having a board meeting. Not the kind we have where you're really bored. Utter stranger sitting back there when the preacher called the board meeting. He said, "You're not on our board." "Yeah, I've been bored since you started." Godhead's having a board meeting. Of course, the Father is at the head of the table. Holy Spirit's on his left and the Word's on his right. And he says, "You know, we need a family. Let's create a family." Okay. So they can go down through the eternities of times and look. And so they went ahead and looked. And, oh, this is great. But look. Look what he did. Look what he did. He fell. So they'll look. It'll take a few thousand years, but we can remedy this. So the Word says, look, I'll go down and I'll take their sins and I'll take their punishment. Because let's get our family back. And so they say, okay, that's settled. And they go down through the eternities of time then. He says, look. Even after you've done that, you have this new nature back, and they're still following the flesh and stuff. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, look. I'll go down and be the power that they need. I'll be the resident power of the Godhead. How about that? So he zooms down here. I'm the power. Then they look on into the future and they go, oh my goodness, look, with all that power, they're still running off and doing things in the flesh. Only they just think nobody knows. I do not speak from experience. What are we going to do when we supplied the power, the redemption? I mean, we've done everything but take their will away from them, make slaves. What are we going to do? And the Holy Spirit says, oh, for crying out loud, if that was possible. okay. I'll go do their praying for me. But I'll just even do their praying. All they have to do, just come, open your mouth. Let it come. We'll create it out of the mind of God. We'll create it. We'll enforce it. We'll bring it to pass. Say it. Say it. But look at this, some of them's getting whipped. Oh yeah. But look. Look, there's a group of stupid people down there. They don't know enough to quit, but that's good until they get smart. They've turned down the money, the flash, the flay. They just want us. So look, it looks like a really small starting, but we can take this, can't we? Yeah, yeah, and the Godhead's jumping up and down. And let's go get it, boys.
Okay.
He's putting a lot of stock in it. We have our revival here.
Yes.
We know it.
You betcha.
Yes. We know it. Hey. The devil doesn't want to just destroy us. He wants to discredit us. Come on. This is why those chapters Gary went through are so important. Don't you know every time a sinner slaps you and takes your stuff and all that, that you have stumbled up one of those blessings of God. It is your chance to prosper. Heap down, pressed together, shaken up, and running over will cause God. What? God's going to run around saying, give him, get him. Give that time. Give him. Get him. 10,000. Give him. 100,000. You give it over here. So, well, no, it's not happening now. He's not talking. As he said that he can cause people to give up to him, he can do it. Did you know there's a lot of millionaires that can see through the junk that's going on in religion? Did you know there's the same number if they found something really great? They'd give their life the same way you do. It's there. It's not a problem. Hallelujah. So, should we sing again? If you don't, I may end up threatening, inventing, breathing threatenings and slaughters. Sound like Paul. Come on. Toes get in, Joe. Come on. Let's worship him first for another moment. I can't.